Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today is January the 6th, 2021, and this is our call with Dr. Alex Lloyd of Spiritual Laws of Nature and Deep Waters. My name is Johanna Chan, and I'll be assisting Alex today. Before we hear from Alex, though, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only, and since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, or maybe you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. So having said that, I want to bring you out, Alex. I'm not sure exactly what the topic is this week, but here you go.
That is okay. Happy New Year, Johanna, and Happy New Year, everyone. You may be listening to this months or even years later, but right now we just started into 2021. So glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here, whether you're live or at another time. The topic this week is death, dying, and funerals. And this is an interesting topic to me because very, very, very few people like funerals. In fact, let me say that another way and get rid of the word like for a different word. Very few people are okay with funerals. The great majority of people dislike and dread funerals. Well, have you ever thought about why? Why is that? I mean, there's several possibilities. Maybe because there are going to be people crying there and you're uncomfortable with that. You don't know what to say. But I think the biggest reason is that it confronts, and when I go to a funeral, I'm confronted with my own mortality. I'm confronted with the certainty at some point of my own life and death.
Welcome to Over the Air Programming. Please hold.
Can you hear me, Johanna?
Yes, I can. Not sure
what that was.
Are you there? Yes, I heard that, Alex. I'm not sure what that was.
Oh, okay, but you can still hear me.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And when I was growing up, I was exactly like that. In fact, probably my least favorite thing to do, or maybe the better way to say it is my most hated thing to do, was to go to a funeral. And one of the earliest and strongest memories of my life is with my grandfather in a coffin at his funeral. And I had nightmares about that for over a year when I was a little child. But as I've gone through my life and things have changed, a really weird thing has happened to me. I like funerals. I do. I like funerals a lot more than weddings, okay? At a wedding, there's basically a 50-50 chance that what you are there for is going to end in failure. Meaning one out of two marriages ends in divorce, basically, all right? Hey, a funeral is 100%, okay? You know that what you are there for is real and it is not going to change, okay? But that's not the reason. The reason is that it does force me to look inward at my own life. There is no way I can sit there and look at the coffin or look at the urn or whatever it is and not also look inside of my own heart and ask some pretty serious questions, okay? If that were me up there, would I have been ready to go? If I was told right now that I didn't have long to live, would I feel like I've wasted my life? Or would I feel like, man, you know what, I would rather stay for a while longer, but I'm ready. I've made mistakes, to be sure, but I've tried to make them right. I've tried to treat other people the way I would like to be treated. I've tried to tell the truth. I haven't always told the truth, but I've tried to correct that when you know, I realized that or later on repented and confessed and then tried to make it right, okay? That's why I like funerals. You probably heard, I had a friend I went to high school with who was in the FBI for decades, and I asked him what he learned, and number one was everybody lies. Number two is that people almost never change. But I believe funerals are a vehicle that maybe percentage-wise, a lot more than almost anything else in our life can help instigate real change in our life. Meaning, when I'm confronted with my own death and the certainty of it at some point or another, and none of us have any guarantees, I could walk out the door and get hit by a truck in 10 minutes, and so could you. The conclusion I reach is I need to get my life right now. If there's people I'm crossways with, I need to at least do what I can do. I can't control them, but do what I can do to make that relationship right. If there's things that I need to say to people, I need to say them. If there's things I need to apologize for, let me apologize. If there's things in my life that I really want to do, let me start doing them. If there's things about my life I'd like to change, lose some weight, start a new career, start a hobby, whatever, let me get on with it, okay, because there's no guarantees. And several times in my life, a funeral has been the primary impetus for a significant or major change in my life. And so what I would like to posit today as a possibility is don't even wait for the next funeral. During the next week, and watch the whole teaching on this that's free on YouTube, sometime in the next week, on purpose, do some meditation and prayer about your own death. If it were to happen 10 years from now, what changes would you try to make now? If you knew you were going to have 1 year, how would you live that year different than the way you're going now? If you knew you had a month, if you knew you had a day, take a look at all those situations and say, is there anything in my life that I would change? And then start changing. Now, some of you won't be able to do that until you clean up some of your heart junk. So, you know, use Trilogy, use memory engineering, pray, But I'm just telling you, some of you have so much negativity and fear in your heart that making a significant change is almost impossible. But what you need to know is once you clean up that junk, it will not be impossible anymore. You'll be able to do it, at least in steps. The other point I wanted to make, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers, is anxiety is the issue of the age. Tom Brokaw said that as the closing words to a Democratic National Convention a number of years ago. Anxiety is the issue of the age. Well, whenever we experience extreme anxiety or something in the anger family, and our life is not in imminent danger right now, it means our life or death mechanism has just been activated. Our fight or flight system has just been activated. Well, that is only supposed to be activated if my physical, biological, mortal life is in danger in the next 5 minutes, meaning an 18-wheeler is about to pull over on me or somebody's chasing me with a knife or gun. That's the only time, if we are functioning the way we are built to function, that I should go into extreme anxiety or something in the anger family. In everything else, if I'm not in imminent danger, it's supposed to be disappointment for a very brief period of time and then move right on to whatever I need to do or to change or what's next, okay? And according to the studies, the average person is going into fight or flight stress 5 to 30 times every day, which means we are malfunctioning 5 to 30 times every day. Well, what are the consequences of that? Well, the very first thing that's turned off is your immune system. And Dr. Bruce Lipton from Stanford explains that that's really the only way you can ever get a serious illness or disease. It is for your fight or flight response to be activated when it should not be activated. Okay? So this next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I would have you think about your own mortality and what you would change, and depending on how much time you had, how quickly would you change things? And number two, how often are you malfunctioning? So I would, for 1 week, keep track of every time you experience moderate to severe anxiety or something in the anger family about anything. All day, every day, for 1 week, okay? And when I've done this with my clients, typically it's 50 or more times in a week. I've had several that have been way into the hundreds. But if you're malfunctioning 50 or more times a week, do you realize how much better your life would be if you were not malfunctioning those 50 times? I mean, we're not talking probably 10%. We're probably talking your life would be 50% better. Your career, very possibly 50, 100% better. Your relationships, at least probably 50% better, maybe up in 80 or 90, because those are the things that will be impacted the soonest and the quickest. So that's the challenge with this, is let it be a positive in your life instead of a negative, something that you don't have to walk around afraid of all the time because you're ready, you've done what you need to do. I'm not saying you want to die. Very few people are ever in that situation. But if it comes, hey, I've been preparing for this. I've talked to the people I need to talk to. I've done the things I felt like I needed to do. I would rather stay, but I'm okay. And do the work you need to do so that as you go through your day, instead of malfunctioning 5 to 30 times a day, man, get rid of those and get it down to once a week that you malfunction. But then, even then with that one, you catch yourself. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm experiencing extreme anxiety and anger because my remote control for the TV won't work. Wait a minute. That is not a life or death issue. But I'm responding as if it, biologically and in my mind as if it's a life or death issue. Time out. I need to work on this right now and fix this, okay? And then when another one comes up, work on that one. When another one comes up, work on that one. Anything moderate to severe anxiety or in the anger family. And if you can eliminate your malfunctions and eliminate, for the most part, your fear of death, and really all fear is a fear of death because that's the only way that mechanism is supposed to be activated. But if you can eliminate those two things or eliminate them by 90%, I promise you it will change your life drastically. And it doesn't mean you have to make more money. It doesn't mean you have to be around different people. It will make a dramatic difference in your life right where you are without your circumstances even changing. But what tends to happen when you do that is your circumstances do start to change, usually for the better, in ways that you were never able to do before. So death, dying, and funerals, a little something there to think about. That's it for me, Johanna.
All right. Thank you, Alex. So if any of you would like to make a comment or ask Alex about any of these posts from YouTube or talks that he's giving on Wednesdays, please raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone, and that's going to raise your hand. I'll be able to unmute your line so you can talk to Alex. So, okay, here's our first caller from California, and I think it's Glenn. Your line is open.
It is indeed. Hi, Dr. Alex. Hi, Johanna. I just wanted to wish you all a happy new year and tell you the broadcast means so much to us. We get so much out of it, and today's a humdinger too. I just wanted to comment that in doing my personal work in this area, once you conquer the fear of death, or at least have it to where it doesn't bug you anymore, you really become alive. And I wanted you to maybe comment on that, Dr. Alex, that it seems like it's a paradox in that once you let go, you're not afraid of dying anymore, then you can have a great life because you're not afraid of anything.
Yeah, I think it was, and Happy New Year to you, Glenn. I think it was Martin Luther King. I may be wrong, but I think it was Martin Luther King who had a quote that was something like, unless you have something worth dying for, your life is not worth living, or something like that. And, uh-huh. and there's a whole lot of truth in that. Once you're no longer afraid of death, it's kind of like you've looked death in the eye, nose to nose, without running, without fighting, without becoming terrified, and you're okay with it, okay? But so many people, they you know, when anything about funerals or death or stuff comes up, you know, it's like the thing, I wish you could see me on video because it'd make more sense, but, you know, when the person just doesn't want to hear something and they're like, la, 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 I'm not listening. There's so many people who that's how they feel about it. And when anything about death starts to come into the conversation or their awareness, they almost just can't take it. That they have to get away. But I completely agree with you, Glenn. When you become at peace with death, not that you want it, not that you're trying to get it to come closer, in fact, very possibly trying to extend your life, I totally believe that. You can live, really live, with excitement and passion and joy and peace and adventure and courage in a way that you can't if you're going through life afraid and hiding and running away and avoiding anything related to death because it makes you afraid. It can totally dominate your life and a lot of times without even realizing it. So completely agree, Glenn.
One of the things that have given me, that helped me deal with that and come to grips with it, is what we talk about, you know, in our energy work, that we are energy beings and our bodies are physical energy, but our soul and spirit is an immortal energy, never created, never dies. So we just transition from one energy form to the other and go back to God or move to heaven or whatever your visualization is. So it's something to look forward to when you've lived a good life. And that fills me with hope and positivity and joy, to something to look forward to instead of something to dread.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
So, thank you. Thank you.
And, Happy New Year, Glenn.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Happy New Year. All right, so we still have time for some more questions. If anyone has a question or a comment, please raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone. It's going to raise your hand, and I'll be able to unmute that.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I think we skipped over at least one of the topics because of the holidays. So you might want to go back and look at that one as well, because we have not talked about that one at all as of yet. So go check that out and see what you think.
Okay, we have another hand up, Alex, so just a moment. This number ends in 7200. I believe they're in Nevada, and your line is open.
Yes, Sherman. Sir, I was calling just to ask you a quick question. In the midst of this COVID, what means or what tools would you say that one can celebrate that dying and death process to the family member and possibly even to the patient? I'm a very strong advocate on believing that, you know, death is a part of life, and we have to embrace that. We
right.
really have to look at death as a celebration
right.
of life, not as a point of sadness and loneliness and anger and pain.
Right.
And so let me stop so you can, you know, maybe share some points about, for those of us who work in the healthcare, what tools can we provide to the family and as well to the patient?
Yeah, I had a client very early in my practice when I was doing the healing codes, and it was a gentleman from Kentucky, and I'd worked with him several times. He literally started working with me on his deathbed. He didn't find out about me until he was already on his deathbed. And so he signed up, of course, was hoping that he would heal and not die. And he was just absolutely terrified. And I talked to his wife, and she was just beside herself, because she said, I don't even know who this man is. She said, all our married life, and for our children too, he has been such a pillar of strength and courage and kindness and love, and now it's just like a different person has come and taken his place, and is just terrified and angry and bitter, and every time we try to bring up anything, he just completely shuts it down. The children said that they wanted to, you know, bring the old pictures and home movies over, and he completely shut it down, said, I'm not dying, we're not saying that word, and we're not going there. And the whole family was just really, really hurting. And I guess it was about a month later, I got a letter in the mail, and I noticed that the return address was the small town in Kentucky that I knew that this gentleman had lived. And so I opened the letter, and it was from his wife. And she started out saying, Dr. Lloyd, I wanted to let you know that, I don't remember when it was, but last week or something like that, maybe it was yesterday, my husband died. And I immediately thought, oh, no, oh, man, she's going to be calling to let me have it or something. And then she went on to say, I'm writing to thank you. And she said, I don't know how to thank you. She said, before my husband started working with you, he was, you know, all those things I just described. Wouldn't talk about it, would not allow anybody else to talk about it, angry and bitter. She said, after he had been doing the things that you gave him to do for about 2.5 weeks, all of a sudden, he changed. And she said, I literally had my husband back, and my children had their father back. She said the light came back in his eyes, the kindness came back, the love came back. And he said, hey, honey, call the children. Let's have a big meal. Tell them to bring their pictures and home movies, and let's watch them, and let's have a wonderful night of celebration and loving each other. And they did that. And she said, there is no amount of money that you could pay us that would be worth what that was worth to our family. And I think that's what you're talking about. And it is supposed to be more of a celebration. And back hundreds of years ago, it was more. It was much more of a thing like that, where they would have candles all around, and all the friends would come and visit, and they would say what needed to be said. They would, you know. But we've kind of drifted a little further and further and further from that to this place of, we're not going to talk about it, and fear. And I think one of the solutions is to talk about it. Is to say, hey, this is the only certainty anyone has in their lives. I mean, let's talk about it and not just be afraid of it, not just hide from it, because you can't hide from it. You know, that's the whole thing about death and taxes. They're going to get you. It's for sure. When and where and all that, those things may change, but they're going to get you, all right? And the work that I do to help heal those things that cause the fear, I think those are great tools. Prayer is the best tool I know, and love from other people. So I would say, you know, start talking about it, speak the truth in love, love each other, and get to a place where there's a peace with that. And if you keep talking about it in love, you will get to a place of peace. And that's the whole reason I started doing these things, is let's talk about what's important and resolve some of these things rather than just looking at screens all the time and not really communicating in relationships the things that are most important, like we used to do more back in the front porch days. I agree. It should be more of a celebration. And if your life is not in a place where it can be a celebration because you feel like you have not lived the life you wanted to or should have or whatever, hey, you're not dead. If you're hearing this, you're not dead yet. So go make whatever right you need to make right and get to that place where you are okay. Not that you want death, but where you're at peace and can celebrate, not death, but celebrate the loves of your life whenever that time comes.
All right. Thank you.
And Johanna, I have to go in about 2 minutes.
Okay, well, we don't have any other hands up, Alex, so
okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right. Okay, love you, Johanna. Love you, everyone. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Alex. All right, so this is a time when we can open the lines for anyone who would like to get a custom code or a custom trilogy for whatever you would like to address. If you would like to get a custom code or a custom trilogy, then you can raise your hand by pressing star 2, and I'm going to unmute your line, and I will get you that custom process. So star 2, I'll raise your hand, and we'll go ahead and get a custom trilogy or a custom code for you. Unfortunately, we cannot do this on the Q&A where you're online. Also, I wanted to share, if everyone would like, please be feel free to email us and let us know what you think about these calls. If you have any questions you'd like to be addressed on these calls, you can certainly send those in. Just send it to feedback@thehealingcodes.com, and we'll be happy to answer your question, and then Alex could even address it on one of these calls if you like. All right. So I think that's going to be it for this week. I want to thank you all for attending, and we will meet you again next week, same place. God bless.